Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Morning.
Thank you for joining me today for a Trinity Talks episode. This is our Trinity Talks podcast that we have in between our two services here at Trinity. And it's a pleasure to be joined with Susan and Diane and Linda. Thanks for agreeing to come into the show and miss your coffee hour.
Thanks for having us.
So I just wanted to let everyone who's watching know that these three women are all part of a life group. And if you don't know what a life group is what some churches call small groups, which is where people meet regularly outside of the Sunday morning service. And it's, as I said, it's regularly meet and you grow together in friendship and in faith and encouragement, oftentimes going through some sermon questions or just developing in faith together, and I assume just supporting one another. So today I was hoping that we could learn a little bit more about what your life group looks like, as well as maybe talk through some of the sermon questions from the sermon that we just heard. How does that sound?
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's find out a little bit more about your life group. I did a little research, and right now I believe there's about 8 people in your life group. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, but I know that it's ever changing and ever evolving. But how long has it been running for, your particular life group?
So our group's been going about 8 years.
About 8 years,
yes. Yeah. And we meet every Tuesday night from 7 and 9 in the basement of the church.
Okay.
It's for women only, 55 years and over.
Okay.
And we usually talk about the questions from the service, but quite often, like when there's a session going on in the church, like the Sabbath that we're having do right now, we'll come as a group to that. Instead of meeting Tuesday night, we'll meet to Wednesday night if the group decides that. And if they decide they don't want to do that, then we might even do the same course, but on the Tuesday night.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to use this as an advertisement moment. Anyone 55 and older, ladies,
yeah. We'd
love to have you join our group.
So there's another space at the table.
There is always another space at
in
the table.
In fact, I've been down to that room. There's a lot of seating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Diane, could you tell me a little bit about what the average session looks like? So you all meet together downstairs.
Yeah, sure. So first we'll start off about like chatting, how our week was. We give everybody a chance to share that. It's a nice way to open it up. Then we'll like do a prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to come in and guide our questions and our session. Instead of going right to the questions, a lot of times we will start off with a discussion about what spoke to you during that sermon, or, you know, did something like evoke a feeling, or things like that. So we'll open it up that way and go around the room. Then we'll go to the questions, have a look at them, and see if there's something that we haven't talked about. And usually there is something to provoke some more discussion and a great opportunity for learning. So we'll do that. One of the nice things about our group is that we have lots of good humor and our ability to laugh with each other,
yeah.
I should say, as we're growing, learning to change some of our ways and, and develop new character traits towards Jesus. We have great boundaries in our group as well. So we like to have everybody have a time to share and to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important for us. Whatever's said in our group stays in our group, so there's total anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes during the week, lots of times Sue might send something out, or Linda or another member. An inspiring scripture that they read during that week, and a prayer that they wanted to share. So we try and stay connected that way too. I mentioned that we have lots of great laughter.
Yeah.
But we also sometimes have tears, and we have members sometimes going through difficult times. And our group will bring meals, say prayers, have Zoom meetings to get caught up if we need to, if the person can't attend. We'll go for dinner sometimes, meet up for movies or Christian concerts. We usually shut down during the summer, but we love to get together for dinners, and we can't wait to get caught up. By the time September arrives, we can't wait to get started and connect again weekly.
Wow.
So that's That's our group.
That's beautiful. So it actually extends beyond the weekly meetings. Mm-hmm. When you're speaking about those things that you do, it reminds me of something that we often say about our life groups is doing life together. Mm-hmm. So when you say you have tears, you have laughs, mm-hmm. you stay connected through the week, you make allowances over Zoom, you do meals. That's beautiful. And that only mm-hmm. comes, I think, from growing in relationship with one another.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to hear. And it's so encouraging, I think, for other people who might be considering life groups to see that this is the type of experience you might be able to expect if you join a group like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, Susan, what encouraged you to want to even join a life group in the first place?
Okay, well, I've been part of a lot of life groups over the years, mm-hmm. and then I went through a kind of season in my life where I was busy with other things, so I hadn't been part of a group for a number of years. So last year I took a course, an online course with Trinity called Be Still, and these ladies were in my breakout group. And during that time, I just realized how much I missed being, you know, in a life group and having people to share my faith with and my questions and to talk to. So I asked if I could join the group, and they welcomed me.
And they said yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been great. Wonderful. And it's a place where we discuss our faith, and mm-hmm. we all seem to really just enjoy our discussions together. Mm-hmm. And as Diane said, we have laughter, lots of fun, and we also are there for each other in, you know, sad times as well. So it's been just great. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What a great story. I didn't realize that you joined sort of within this past year.
Yes. Yeah.
And that it was the Be Still course. Well, yeah. Diane and Linda, you must have made quite the impression on Susan. right now, we're actually doing the Sabbath course, which I think you alluded to. And we have some people who are also looking to possibly join life groups. So I guess mm-hmm. it's my prayer, too, that those people might find or walk into a group or a table and see some hope in the life group there. So mm-hmm. that's great. Now, Diane, how did you, so you've been in the life group longer than yeah. Susan. How did you come to want to join a group, a small group?
For me, I think it was, years ago when I was searching, new in my faith, I just kind of wanted to belong to something like a group to grow and understand and to grow spiritually in my faith. But what I've found is that I really enjoy a study that has questions that are incorporating scriptures rather than just at that time learning to just read the Bible on my own. I didn't find I was finding that deep learning and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it confusing sometimes. So when I joined the life group, it was a place to unpack the Bible or sermon study questions. And being led by the Holy Spirit, that really drawed me to it as well. And deeper understanding developed, you know, the more I went in different groups and over the years. So it kind of happened after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really mm-hmm. interesting. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Linda?
I think for me, I wanted to take my Christian journey a little bit deeper. I felt like I was part of the one and done crowd. You know, mm-hmm. you go to church on Sunday and I'm done till next Sunday.
Yeah.
So I sort of wanted to do a little bit more. So I felt Diane and I actually used to go to a different church on Wednesdays who would do, the minister would do like a little bit of a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's what we need, something in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So then when they started doing the life groups again and everything was getting up, I thought, you know, this is exactly what we need. And it's been a great venture.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So then you mentioned that you guys do walk through the sermon questions, yeah. which are posted every week here at Trinity, usually just right after the sermon. And sometimes they're more challenging and sometimes they're a little easier to go through. But for anyone who hasn't had a chance to see those sermon questions yet, you can actually find them on our website. They're under services and sermon questions. And there's always a link to the most recent sermon questions that's right up there at the top of the page. You can also request from our office and we will actually actually send them to you as well. Now, I have a copy of the sermon questions that our guest preacher, Reverend Peter Mills, sent out. And we were actually just chatting for the audience. We were just chatting before about this topic being a little bit heavy. Yeah. And we are just going to walk through some of these questions and sort of try our best just the way you would, I think, in your own groups. So the very first question that Peter suggested that some churches overlook the significance of the cross. In fact, I think during his sermon, he talked about that he gave us a percentage of how much of the Gospels are actually dedicated to the Passion. So that final week of Jesus's life, it's considerably significant. It's almost like time just slows down mm-hmm. and so much is recorded. And yet we probably don't speak as much about that during our church days and when we're looking at the scriptures. So why do you think... maybe not so much why do you think churches overlook the cross, but how can we ensure maybe that the cross stays central in our faith?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had written down here in advance, Christ offered himself to God through external spirit and his resurrection. This crucified Christ has become a life-giving spirit for us all to receive. Jesus didn't only die for our sins, he was crucified to terminate every negative thing, including our bad habits, old ways, addictions, whatever our stumbling blocks are. And the power is received when we turn to him in his spirit and all the time inviting him into the areas of our lives that we're struggling in. And I guess there's different ways that we can keep the cross central mm-hmm. In daily life. For me, it's praying in prayer, asking God into every situation, sometimes journaling, having a gratitude list, being thankful, but always keeping him front and center.
Mm-hmm. Which I like that you said having lists and journals. So that's some discipline involved in actually ensuring that that happens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, any other thoughts on that?
I thought Peter touched on that a little in the sermon, in that on the cross, Jesus is, that's where we meet Jesus more or less on our level, because he is suffering as, we suffer. And so that is central to our faith, is that. Yeah.
That humanness of him.
Yeah.
Now, our sermon series that we've been working through is the famous last words. So in this sermon, we focused around the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is actually a quote from Psalm 22, which some people may not have known if they've just heard this. But Jesus is actually quoting scripture. And I'm wondering what you think the significance of Jesus quoting scripture in this moment of despair is.
I thought too, he touched on that, like, firstly, that when he mentioned that, why didn't he quote Psalm 23, he said that, like, and I thought, this is honest prayer of one who has experienced complete separation from God, and that honest prayer is good. And so it's also a light to us when we're in our darkest hours and we feel separated from God, that, this is what we do. We cry out to him.
Yes. So Jesus, what you're saying is he was honest, and he also gave us a model for how to pray in that moment as well, and just bear it all.
Right.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Peter also mentioned that there's this tension between seeing Jesus as a possible superhero. In fact, he mentioned Batman, which just show of hands, who remembers the Batman cartoon TV show? And also, so there's this tension between seeing him as the superhero, but then also seeing him as enduring this profound suffering, where we know as Christians that Jesus had the power to take himself down from the cross and demonstrate this superhero-like power, and yet he chooses to endure this intense and insane suffering. So how do you think that this tension between seeing Jesus's two different types of powers that he opts, that he kind of has to choose between, help us understand Jesus's character more?
I think for me, I think it helps us remember that Jesus was human. I mean, quite often we think of Jesus, he's on a pedestal, he's healing people, he's doing everything, but he was a human being, and he was treated like a human, being shunned and scorned for his beliefs, having to go through this agony. So by us seeing that, helps us relate that he is human, and that if he can do it, that we can try to do it also when we're in suffering in our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine if Jesus had gotten down from the cross?
Yeah.
We would say, wow, look at that power. But ultimately, what good would that have done?
Right. It wouldn't have done us any good.
It wouldn't have done us any good.
Too bad we couldn't do it, right?
That's right. We sure can't. So maybe we can consider now, there's one question that says, consider times in your life when you felt abandoned or rejected by others. And we don't have to share too many personal experiences, but how does Jesus' experience of abandonment on the cross by his own father offer comfort and hope in these moments to us?
Well, I have to say that there's been many times, and I'm sure a lot of us have felt abandonment in our lives. And in being honest with myself, I've even felt abandoned by God himself in times. And when that usually happens, I'll wallow in self-pity for a bit, and I'll get mad at God, and I'll pray, even, why have you left me? Because I just felt like I'm just by myself. But always in the middle of that, it's like my inner faith just seems to bubble to the surface. And it's like, don't forget I'm here. And that just sort of refocuses me. And sometimes I think we need to feel this anguish just to realize when things get better, what we've accomplished and how we've made it through it. And I think of Jesus on the cross and how much he believed in God. But he also had a moment where he hung there in agony and didn't know what to do, and had the same feelings that we have in our time when we just can't seem to get out of this pit. And like I said, he just seems to give us a strength to feel that if he can do it, then at least we can try. I mean, we may not be able to do what he's done, but at least we can try to pull ourselves out.
Yep, absolutely. And that he's there with us.
Yes,
through it.
Yes.
I love that.
But it's amazing how our Christianity, when you think you've lost it, all of a sudden it's like a little whisper in your ear, I'm still here.
I'm still here, and I understand.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Yeah. I love that. And let's discuss as well, just sort of finally to wrap up, the implications of Jesus's sacrifice on the cross for our own lives. So he made this huge sacrifice. How does his willingness to endure abandonment and suffering inspire us to persevere in our own faith journeys? And I think, Linda, you sort of touched on this already.
Well, I'd probably add in there that, Jesus embraced his death with grace and dignity, keeping his focus on the Father. And when Christians face problems, feel lonely, abandoned, suffering, Jesus invites us to fix our mind on him and to keep focused on him in all situations, and to keep coming to him until the answer, is there. So for me, one of the things is I don't like to make decisions until I have that peace. So I found that is the guidance that he provides for me when there's a major thing where I don't know what to do.
And it's a peace.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Or an answer.
An answer?
It doesn't have to be peace all the time, but it's an answer, a direction.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Yeah. I love that. So any other thoughts on this, guys? I assume that you're going to meet this coming Tuesday to talk about it even further. Or do you take a break for the March break?
Well, we're doing the
Sabbath course. Restart up after the Sabbath.
Right.
Are you finding the Sabbath course?
Oh, it's great.
It's really good.
Learning some new habits.
And probably getting rid of some old ones,
right.
At least myself personally.
Yes.
Had you practiced the Sabbath previous to this in any ways?
I would say in bits and pieces during the week for me.
Okay.
Church Sunday mornings is always that importance. But I think now Sunday's becoming more that day where rest is.
Yeah.
Is really, that's the whole thing of the course, how important it is for that rest on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And for anyone who's not aware of the Sabbath course, we actually have over 100 people mm-hmm. who have registered mm-hmm. for this course. Some people are doing it online. You're doing it in person. That's correct, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you're working together. And it's a video series, 4 sessions, mm-hmm. where we are talking and learning about this rest, like you said, Diane, designed by God so that we can reconnect with Him, find delight and worship Him ultimately. Certainly not something our culture has structured us to do, is set us up to do. So like you said, it's breaking old habits and then forming new ones. Mm-hmm. But I just want to take a moment to thank you for joining me for this conversation.
Thank you for having us.
And it was a pleasure. I'd love to have you back again sometime. Maybe we'll go through a sermon that maybe isn't quite as heavy or maybe even heavier. Who knows? It was actually a lot of fun chatting with you. And I'd love to just hear your wisdom and insight again. So thanks again for joining me for Trinity Talks.
Thanks so much.